God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning are the words of the epistle lesson which we just read. So Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 17. These words set up for us one of the greatest of contrasts. A difference even more striking than the difference between the darkness of a cloudy night and the brilliant sunshine of a cloudless day at noontime. But the contrast is between the darkness of our sins and the splendor of the reconciliation which has been purchased for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in this text takes us to the height, and then he descends into the depth, only to bring us back into the height again. And all the heights at which the Apostle begins are set. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. It might be said that these words to the Colossians form one of the shortest textbooks on Christology ever written. And yet at the same time, they are words upon which no man could ever improve. But consider what is said here. Christ is called the image of the invisible God. The Greek word used is icon. And what more fitting words could there possibly be? For Christ is, in many respects, the image of God. He makes God known among God's people. For those streets that fled through the dusty streets of Galilee, and through the sands of the wilderness, and that walked upon the pavement of Jerusalem, that we nailed to the cross, the feet of the Son of God. God was truly made manifest to his people in Jesus Christ. That is what the Apostle and Evangelist John writes in the first chapter when he says, no man has ever seen God, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. And so it is that this Lord and Christ is above all everything else. He is above all creation, for he himself is the creator. And even the highest spiritual beings, the fallen image here, the thrones and the dominions and the principalities and the authorities, owe their existence to him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Yet the description does not even stop at this point. But Paul continues in the house. He says, and he is the head of the church, his body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ is all in all. He has a very personal interest in his church. He is the head of it, as the head is to the body. And it is here that Paul reveals the remarkable purpose for all of this. For it is that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him for one reason alone, and that is for the great reconciliation, that he would bring about peace between God and man by the blood of his son. And here is where the apostle descends into the depth. So here is where we come into the picture. And he speaks to the Colossians and he says, and you, who once were strange and hostile in mind doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. We are the rebels who have committed treason against the Creator, against our God. Paul does not mince words. We are estranged, separated, hostile, enemies of God. In our minds and in our deeds, we can do nothing that is right or favorable in his eyes. We have become separated from him. But the greatness of the law love of God in Jesus Christ is shown in this. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. That in Jesus Christ there is peace, forgiveness, and righteousness. So it is that we can stand before his throne, not in the filthy garments of our own making, but in the pure and clean robe of his righteousness. For the Lord of all spared the life of his servant and gave his life, that he might have the crown of life. So it is a great reconciliation which God has effected for us. And Paul then concludes the words of the epistle lesson with an exhortation. He calls upon us to remain steadfast, to continue in the faith. For he says, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I call, became a minister. These are very fitting words for all of us. We either are or very soon will be proclaimers of that gospel, messengers of that great reconciliation. Do not shift from the hope of the gospel. Do not let your mind be turned another way or to another place. Let your ministry be Christocentric, centered in Jesus Christ and in his work. Let your teaching point to him who is the head of the church. Be strengthened in the word and in the sacrament. Get there today again. We will receive his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and for the strengthening of our faith. Do not look so much for cut formulas or for ways in which we can increase our success or our prestige or our honor, but rather look and think about the blood of the cross. For in that message, we will be proclaiming the great reconciliation. And in that we will be faithful servants of the King of Kings. And now to him who by the power of work in him is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen.